Yesterday, today, yeah, forever.
Just sit down, just sit down. I didn't say you, not you. How many times have you been faced with that temptation of, okay, we have learned Jesus, let's progress to other things? Like, okay, we have learned the word, what else? We have done this. What else? Okay, now I'm saved. What else? My time and devotion.
Jesus yesterday, today, Jesus forever.
You know, this choir, they're really trying their best to cause you to value the same thing we are preaching. All right, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, choir. Wow. It's learning in my mind. It's words on my lips. Will you be happy in the next 50 years for you to still be sitting down like this, hearing God's word and preaching God's word? Funny enough, that is God's plan for man. Like, we are not doing this as an introduction to ministry. So that when we have reached there, we now be doing, okay, potters, rams. Now we're discussing deep things. How tall is Angel Michael? How short is Angel IJ? Now we're discussing all those deep things. No. He said grace is a mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Amen, amen. Praise God. Unchanging is our God. Eternal is will. Cannot change. God is sovereign, yeah. And that sovereignty is well defined. Well defined. It has perimeters. What is the perimeter of God's sovereignty? Christ. That's all. Christ. Sonship? Christ. Righteousness? Christ. Holiness? Christ. If you are not in Christ, you said, but I don't do bad things. Your righteousness is a filthy rag. Praise God. Again, let's take that solo again. Want to go? Unchanging is our
God. Eternal is His will. It cannot change, no lie or fail. He's made known His will, oh man. He's Jesus yesterday, today. He's Jesus forever.
Unchanging
is our God. Eternal is His will.
He cannot
change, no lie or fail.
Yep.
He's made known His will for man. He's Jesus yesterday, today. He's Jesus forever.
Amen, amen. Thank you. This is it, everybody. Thank you. John 1. Thank you. Awesome. Wow. Nice. Awesome. Eternal is His will. Cannot change. It doesn't have to. So John 1, verse 1. That's our Jesus. That's part 3, right? Part 4. Series 3, part 4. Okay, John 1, verse 1, loud and clear. Let's read from verse 1 to 7. John 1, 1-7. Once you go, yes, sir. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might. Amen, amen. So now, I start explaining. See, verse 7, it said the same came to for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. See that word, see those things. Through Him might believe. Tenses is actually very important. That's why language, grammatical, Greek words are very important. Those words, he said through Him. He didn't say that all men might believe Him. John is not saying John was preaching so that men can believe John. No. But so that men, through John, might believe in Christ. Okay? So the prophets came to bear witness. The prophets, they came to bear witness. See verse 8. Okay? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So we must not give relevance to any prophet greater than Jesus. Any prophet, call him whatever his name, Elijah. I knew men of God, I should say, their best Bible character, their best Bible this is Elijah, is Elisha, because, you know, he's a no-nonsense person. Well, you are not likely to be a believer. So, he said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness. Every prophet, because John was the greatest of all prophets, you see that in Matthew 11. So, the prophets were sent to bear witness of the light. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. The true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. Let me give you a definition. You know when you're ready. The true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. So the art, A-R-T, please write this down. So the art, A-R-T, the art and end of explaining Christ. The art, A-R-T, and end of explaining Christ out of the words of the prophet is called doctrine. The art, A-R-T, and the end of explaining Christ out of the words of the prophet is called doctrine. Doctrine. It's first used in the New Testament after Jesus' long sermon. That long sermon that he started from Matthew 5, from the Beatitudes to the Matthew 6, to the take no thought of your life, take no thought, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, up to Matthew 7, that he that hears this word and dwells, the things I say, is like a man that, you know, that long sermon, he now, and this is the summary of the sermon. See Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, I mean, this is what people said about the sermon. I didn't know how many days the sermon took. 7:28. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine. Greek word didache. Rabbis. How do you pronounce it? Didache. Didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. I'm sure you follow me every bit of the way right now because it's a bit long, but I will do our best. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Didache. His doctrine. People say they were astonished at his doctrine. What is his doctrine? That means his type of explanation out of the same scripture. His acts of explanation. So now we are discussing something since Friday. That means there is a reasoning. The Bible will give you. You know, that's what a day that if I was asking me a question that how come that I said you must have a biased mindset in reading the Bible. He now said, how can you have a biased mindset in reading the Bible? That will that not make you sentimental? Are you with me? If you have a biased mindset, he said, will that not make you sentimental? No. This is what happens. That biased mindset is a function of understanding. That biased mindset, why do we look into the Bible and we say everything must be talking about Christ? It's because we have seen some emphasis already. So that biased mindset is just like, let's assume you have seen that Genesis is talking about Christ. You have seen that Exodus in Exodus 6 is talking about Christ. You have seen that Psalm was so much on Christ. You have seen that Song of Solomon is talking about romance. It's about Christ. After you have been, maybe out of the 66 books in the Bible, after you have seen like 40, like you have been able to clearly say, oh, I can clearly see this 40 of the 66 book of the Old Testament talking about Christ. So what should be your conclusion for the remaining 24 or 26? It must be what? Of Christ. That means the ones I don't understand yet, I will now say, okay, definitely it must be talking about Christ. So I will now walk from the answer to the question. You get that? That means I will now walk from the end to what? To solve the riddle. How do you know that Songs of Solomon is not talking about romance? Because at least the epistle is already the solution, right? From the epistle, you cannot walk back to the prophecies. So didache, it means a teaching. Okay, write this down. It means the act of teaching. Teaching and the acts of teaching. So there's a way with which we reason through scripture. Didache, that should be a noun. Then we have the verb, which is didasko, D-A-S-D-A-S-K-O. D-I-S-D-A-S-K-O. D-I-S-D-A-S-K-O. That is the verb part, didasko. Oh, it means to learn, to train, to be trained. It can mean both to train or to be trained. This is what must happen in every local church. People must be trained to learn, to train, or to be trained. And these words are so much in the Bible. Didache, didasko, didaskalia, very different, plenty shades of that. So, like I said, what happened in Matthew 7 must have taken days. Explanation, the act of explanation, the act of, you know, bringing Jesus out of the Old Testament scripture. So, people must see teaching as the most important part of your ministry. Write that down, please. People must see teaching as the most important part of your ministry. People must see teaching as the most important part of your ministry. People must not see one verse in 1 Corinthians 12 as what you are building everything upon. One verse. Yes, to one is given word of knowledge, to one is given word of wisdom. Your whole ministry cannot be based on that one verse. Now, okay, my ministry is to be calling people out, to be telling them all their details, all their... All those things, they are what we call supporting striker. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. They are what we call support. They are jasa, the time, the maggi, the curry, the what? What else do you put in food, ladies? Hunger. What else? Ajinomoto. Amen? Bad cooks. After you have spoiled everything, now put Ajinomoto there to cover your shape. Amen. You can learn how to cook on, what's the name of that channel? DSTV. Shop, Abby. John 1:45, before I lose my message and I lose my salvation thing. So people must see teaching as the most important part of the ministry. So again, doctrine is a system of explanation, The doctrine of the Bible is salvation through faith in Christ. The doctrine of the Bible is that salvation through faith in Christ. John 1:45, that's the doctrine of the Bible. It must be clear. Even your house-to-house preaching to your friends, it must be clear that you value preaching more than anything else. John 1:45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, John 1:45. Come on, open. Yes. Okay, let's read it together. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of... So, God made that information of redemption available from the beginning. Imagine what he said. He said, Moses in the law wrote about him. The prophets, they wrote about him. The Psalms, they wrote about him. So God already made that information of redemption available from the beginning. He was not hiding himself from man. Remember on Friday, I said it takes a living soul plus a willing God for salvation to occur. A willing God made this information of Christ available to man. He made it available. He made the information available. All information under Christ's sufferings and his glory. Let's focus. Christ's suffering and his glory. Every other concept to be understood must be in reference to Christ's suffering and his glory. Every other concept to be understood must be in reference now to Christ's suffering. If you miss anyone, just leave a line there, go to the next one. Every other reference to be understood must be in reference. Sorry, I said every other concept to be understood must be in reference to what? To his sufferings and his glory. E.g., how do I define sin? You must define sin in the suffering of Christ. You must not just define sin sentimentally. You must not just define sin with what you think. You must define sin in the suffering of Christ. In the suffering of Christ. See Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. He's saying this one does not matter, but the real one that will matter before judgment is a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Which obviously you know is unbelief. That's Matthew 12:31. Put your hand there, go to John 16:7. Because the message of the Holy Ghost is a glorified Christ. Sorry, these are paraphrases. We have overstressed these things. The message of the Holy Ghost is the glorified Christ. John 16:7. You are saying, oh, but I'm not there where you thought it. And that's why we have archives of stuff for you to get messages. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the word of what? Sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Slowly want to go. Of sin because what? Of sin because what? So what must be the highest definition of sin to you? Unbelief. See, unbelief. So in the suffering of Christ, sin is not just, acts. It's not just acts of this, he smoked, he this, yes, those are sins, okay? But the sin of all sin, the sin that strengthens all that is what? Unbelief. See, unbelief. See righteousness. Verse 10. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. That means righteousness is based on Jesus being seated on the right hand of God. Again, see what I'm saying? I'm saying every concept must be explained from Christ's suffering and his glory. So, how do I define sin? Unbelief in Christ. How do I define righteousness? Christ seated, okay, and we seated in Christ. How do I define judgment? In the death of Christ, because the prince of this world is judged. Are you getting that? Try and write it down. Let me give you 10 seconds. You define righteousness where? Based on Christ seated. You define sin based on unbelief in Christ, because he is the plan of God. Everything is relative to Christ. Everything is relative to Christ. Don't just define sin as morality. Yes, moral failure is sin, but the sin of all sin is unbelief. It's in relative. It's the moral sin that you are used to disdain Christ. Moral sin that you are using as a tool of rebellion, as a weapon, as a vehicle away from God. Yeah. That's the real one. So, he is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the custodian of all of God's blessings. He is the custodian. So, God's judgment is when man rejects that blessing of God in the Son. God's judgment is when man rejects that blessing of God in the Son. Again, God's judgment is when man rejects the blessing of God in the Son. That's judgment. That's why judgment happens. It's when man rejects the blessing of God. Because remember I just said, Jesus is the custodian of all of God's blessings. So, God's judgment now is when man rejects that blessing of God in the Son. That's judgment. It's self-invoked. It's what men invoked on themselves. So guys, man's duty is to focus on what has been written about Jesus. Man's duty is to focus on what has been written about Jesus. Is to focus on what has been written about Jesus. That's man's business. That should be your business too. That should be your focus. Focus on what has been written about who? About Jesus. God's ultimate help to man is the scriptures. God's ultimate help to man is the scripture. We discussed this some months ago. I have to show you that. Look through the Bible. You will discover that men did not know God in the age of miracle. So sad. It's not meant to be like that, though.
It just happened. In those age of Elijah, Elisha, okay, in those times that the prophets are jiving up and down, there was no idea of Jesus. It was there in the prophecy, but it was not rampant. They are not getting it. They are not getting why Israel just think that the promised land is what? Is Canaan. It's until that 400 years of silence between what? Malachi and what? Matthew. So during those years, are you with me, brethren? I'm sure you follow me to your mind, okay? That's how you can see. You are stuck here, okay? You are stuck with us. So just be blessed. That's the point. So don't be stuck and you are now unstuck in your mind. That is double jeopardy. You are not in club and you are not here. So you are missing two places. So cuckoo be here. Tell everybody, say cuckoo be here. Cuckoo is cuckoo. You know cuckoo? What is cuckoo in English, please? Yeah, just. Thank you. So what am I saying? So listen to me, oh. Why don't we have it very clear in those First Kings, Second Kings, the historical document that yes, Jesus is coming. Yes, Jesus is coming to save us. Because they were focusing on plenty things. In days of David, they are focusing on, yes, our kingdom. Solomon is focusing on temple, let's build temple. And they are building on wives. Is it wives? Wow. Serious. Yes, 1,000 wives. That must be a great focus. You know, how you see Jesus is on scene. So you have different focus. Canaan land, let's go to Canaan. They are focusing on Canaan. So, and because prophets were around to prophesy, yes, God says the Lord, you are Syria, you go and kill them. This, it now took 400 years when there was no prophets. But they had one thing. What they have? Scriptures. They have what the prophets have said before. So it's not between that Malachi and Matthew. That everybody say, you have been missing something. Oh, somebody is coming. So when Jesus came, they were already expecting what? A Messiah. So guess what? Why? What do you think delayed the coming of Jesus? Distraction. I love that word. Distraction. I mean, it's one of the things that delayed it. We'll see God going to the eschatology part of it. All those Nehemiah prophecy, extra. I studied all those things in Bible college years ago. So, it took all those Elijah, everybody kept quiet. That was why when Jesus came, when John came, he said, are you the Elijah to come? They have been expecting, like, Israel that was used to supernatural very well before. There was no supernatural like that. You now see in John 5, plenty of people were sick. They wait at one pool, waiting for what? Moving of the water, which is once in a year. When time one angel is tired somewhere, we just come and just do, you know, one person will be healed in a year. Someone has been there for 38 years. God was God, the angel or God, whatever, was passing him by. Praise God. This is the point. Is it God's will for prophets to be taken away before they know God? Let me explain this in another way. Is it God's will for men? Is it compulsory for things to be tough before men know God? Oh, let me ask you a further question. What is the further corroborative evidence to that made you know that they are truly waiting for a deliverer then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What, apart from the fact that, yes, now they have studied where they have seen it, what further made them see the need for a deliverer? They were under Roman. So all that now made them say, let's start scripture. So they are now looking for a Jesus that will come as a military what? Ruler. To come and overturn Herod. Abi, what is his name? Herod or Pilate. All of them. So, must things be difficult before you know you do what you ought to do? That's the question. You can write it down as a rhetorical question. Things ought not to be difficult, rather. Before man seek God. Things ought not to be difficult. So it's now when the storm of life has boxed them to the corner. It has boxed you from the left, box you to the right, box you on top, box you under, upper court, lower court, give you. Stop. After the storm of life, bam to you in the dream. You want to sleep again, bam to you. Save me, oh Jude! Now God got your attention, right? Learn to serve God in the days of peace. So that the war will not come. Learn to give your attention in the days of peace. Now we've seen several old people say, I try all this when I was young. But I'm talking about this. You are a disgrace. Listen, you're saying this is not a testimony. You should be weeping, saying this thing you are saying. It's a disgrace. I said, I don't pray to be like you. Go from that. Just go like that. We're not talking to you. End up discussing today. We'll talk tomorrow. Of course, it's not my boss. Praise God. So, in reading the scripture, you will discover Christ. In reading, you will discover Christ. In fact, when you pray to God, that God, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to hug you. You say, son, go and read my word. I want to know your bam, 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 bam. I want to know your way. Have you read your Bible today? Abi? That's it. Oh Lord. After that nice meeting, after you have cried like that, the next thing is organize a 12 hours Bible study. That is the answer. That is the answer. Is it in your dream that God will now reveal himself to you? I want to know your heart. Now leave the concert. You went to. Now, thank you. Turn on Africa Magic. Pastor Abel is there in KLM. Say, this one's too dull. No. I want to watch Major One, Bazooka. You know Bazooka? Shook you. Yeah, now shook you. And you just sang yesterday. I want to know your heart. I don't lie. You are, at least if somebody can make you cry, I think you'll be serious, right? So if you have cried and you hear that there's a man somewhere in Lagos, they call him Pastor Nainga, what should you do? Pack your load! Go! So why do you cry? Now, if it's a boo that make you cry now, that day, all we need, I'm packing my load, I'm going to my father's house. You go. But you cry because of God's word. And you cannot take a step. No, you are just lying. Self-deception. Today. Person will go. Run to stay. Okay, so you don't know your song. Awesome. God bless you. She's alive. So what I'm saying is take steps. After you have shown a sincere heart cry to know God, there is where God is. John the Baptist made that mistake. He said, don't worry, he must increase, I must decrease. Jesus came. What did John supposed to do? What was John supposed to do? Close ministry. Jesus is, you are saying somebody is coming, Abby. Jeriah is coming. Jeriah now came. Say, that's my assistant, Gio, at what? Opposite Jordan. Me, I run the other hemisphere, other division. And you are saying he must decrease until the guy went into matters that was not concerning him. Herod had married another wife. Is that your business? Is that your message? Is that in Isaiah 40? In case you see Herod carry another wife, go and ask him. Is that in Isaiah 40? Is it in Malachi 4? I don't know your prophecies. It's not there. Now I don't permit you. Now, after you have died now, does that stop Herod from doing what he wants to do? Have you stopped the situation? Amen, amen. It's up to close ministry. Do you see Peter go to anybody and say, you could choose somebody's wife? No. Just go to him. See, John. I didn't say anymore. Don't be like that man. Focus on your work. Praise God. So, very clearly, the will of God was known. It was there. Man, we. How many you have cried that you want to know God everyone? Let me see. Be frank. You have cried out of passion. I've not cried before. Let me see. We can make you cry today. I've not cried before. Let me see. Let's do something. This one I've not cried before. First, now, X-ray your life. Amen. It is money. Before you came to church, you heard what? It's a movie time. What do they call that? That one that's not life. John 5 now. So after you have expressed a sincere outcry, take steps now. Why are you doing like take steps. Don't lie. Take steps. Take steps. If you don't want to do God, say, God, don't worry, I don't want to know you. I just want to fancy you. Fancy you. You're my fan. I'm a fan of Jesus. I'm not, no. So don't cry and you finish crying. You now went back home to sit down before what our former pastor called the devil's workshop. The devil's mirror now. It's no longer a box. It's a devil's mirror. Okay. So where are we? John 5, right? So please, in everything in the documentation, we must see Jesus. Okay? We must see Jesus. We must see Jesus. Write this down. Number one, we must see his definition of sin. We must see his judgment on sin. We must see his definition of righteousness. Again, definition of sin, judgment of sin, definition of righteousness, then the bestower of righteousness on men. We must see his definition of sin. How did Jesus define sin? How did he judge sin? Then, what is the definition of righteousness? Then, the bestower of righteousness on men. How did he do it? So, back to John now. In the first place, we looked at some of the miracles of John, right? We saw the miracle in Cana of Galilee that all these miracles, they are, it's not just for the fun of it. Jesus' miracles were also teaching what? Ministry. So write this down. Your miracles should also teach men the character of God. Write that down, please. Your miracles, the miracles you do, should also what? Teach men the character of God. That means if you remember our song, every good giving and every perfect bestowment, James 1, 17, 18. That means, well, for a thing to be of God, the means must be good and the result must be good. Again, the means must be good and the result must be good. If I want to give you money and I wrap the money in a stone and I used to stone you, well, at the end of the day, you receive the money is yours, but the end is good, but the means, is it good? No, right? So the means, it can injure you. That is not God, okay? God used both a good means and a perfect end. That means God will not use, you know, there's probably you remember that, oh, math, he comes back. Come lower me, not something like that. Don't use one to, like, don't give me child and take away money. Like that. Give me everything. So God will not stuff like that. So again, God's means is good and the end is good. So for instance, like we have heard of the man that he said, if somebody wants healing in the church, you tell them to go outside and go and eat the church grass. You know, eat grass like Nebuchadnezzar. So is that one now, for instance, is that one a good means? Is it a good means? So, although if the parents say, but they got healed now, well, tomorrow, the grass may as well become another thing in the belly, which will cause another wala. The guy will become a ruminant animal. And that wala in the future. So, see, our miracles also teach the character of God. That's what I'm saying. Thank you. John 5 now. Our miracles, how we do it, okay? Don't do fetish things. Don't like, remember that that pastor at the backyard of Israel, that the way he does the deliverance is he'll carry somebody rolling. Hallelujah. And I love the pastor, the guy carry. Something look like, where's Pius? Okay, praise God, hallelujah. throw the guy. Give him punch, uppercut in church, uppercut. Bah, demon, get out. Wow, half for learning. Hope not the demon will go, sir. Not that if they have fallen to the ground, the demon did not go. No, that is at least. let the demon first go. All the people said now they are laying legs. Come on, he's licking my shoe. Come on, didn't you polish the shoe? He's licking polish. Why is that? It's not fair. All those stuffs. We think we are gentle on hacking. You don't have time for Facebook, you know. These are still rubbish of everyone and that. That you don't use a wrong means to get a good end. It doesn't work. You have not taught God. You can help that person, but you have unhelped plenty generation. Because that your singular acts will go a long way to further discredit God. So it's kind, yes, today you could have helped that individual, but on the long run, what have you done to the gospel? Might say once somebody say he does not have the fruit of the womb, you are not giving a ridiculous task to complete, money to pay before he can have it. And say at the end of the day, but she got it afterwards, after doing, after paying how much? What for? Amen, amen. So John 5 now, 36. We have a long read again. In the morning we read Psalm 119. But today we'll be focusing on John a bit. So just from John 5 to around John middle there, 11 or so. We'll just be picking some of the miracles of Jesus there. And we'll see the significance and then we'll be on our way. Exactly. So John 5 now, 36. Want to go? Let's read, yes. I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father at what? So miracles is to lead men to learning. See, he said he has a greater witness than that of John, that the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do bear witness of me. It's not saying the works with the words is the end. He said it's meaning the miracles, which is the works there, will lead men to learning, to knowledge. Miracles is to lead you to learning. It's not the end. See John 14 now, verse 10. Rush to John 14, verse 10. Help me. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he dwelleth the words, the works. Verse 11. Slowly want to go. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very what? Some miracles can lead you to what? Huh? To faith, right? It can lead you to the path of faith. I sit down that way. Miracles can lead man to the path of faith. I love to use the path of faith. Miracles can lead man to the path of faith. And verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these will do, because I go to my Father. John 5 now. John 5. Jesus yesterday, today, Jesus forever. John 5, verse 1. So let's read slowly from verse 1 to 6. I will not assume you know these stories. You read everything. 1 to go, 1 to 6, yes. After this, there was a feast in the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem, and there was Jerusalem Valley, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, happened. 5 porches in this lay a great multitude of impotent folks, blind, out, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down, seizing into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then falls, troubling of the water, stepped into it, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And certain man was there, which had an infirmity how long? 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been long time in that state, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Amen, amen. Will thou be made whole? Imagine, a long time. So he was actually using the case of that man. It was recorded because, oh God. Put your hand there. Go to John. John, last chapter 21. No, I'm caged to ensure you understand. Until you understand, I don't know what to do. John 21:25. Let me read 24. You read 25 for me. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. 25. Slowly, want to go? Yeah. Also, many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone. This one the one I'm looking for. That's the one I said is written so that. 2031. Thank you. Somebody is awesome there. 2031. Yes, thank you. Let me read 30. John 20 now. Let me read verse 30. You read 31 for me. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Listen, he said Jesus did many signs, okay, which are not written in this book. Slowly, 31. Want to go? These are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might what? That means there are some of the miracles of Jesus that you can see it and you learn from it. You see the pattern of the miracle, right? And you learn doctrine in the pattern of the miracle. Just like we saw about the wine that finished in John chapter 3, John 2 rather. You get me, sirs? Thank you. So, that is what we are doing to these scriptures now. So, back to John 5, verse 6. So, he asked this guy, he has been there 38 years. He said, will thou be made old? Same way, man has been waiting for salvation. Man has been waiting on faith, F-A-T-E. Man too, this man has been waiting at that pool, just waiting in case. Man too has been waiting on F-A-T-E for salvation for a long while. Man has been waiting. Same way this man was waiting for in case, by chance. Man too has been waiting on chance for salvation, waiting on probability. Only God, only two. Abi, only God, when you hear all those things, that only God knows who is serving him. There's one day that the pastor said, well, this heaven, we don't know who will make it. Me and your pastor, I'm not sure. So why are you doing that, church? The guy will think that is humility, right? That's not humility. That is ignorance, which is pride. I'm not even sure. So what are you doing here? That is the same as Muhammad. Muhammad said, he's not sure where he's going. That's him. Your pastor is a Muhammad, not me. Amen. On the last day, only to be. Judgment Day is coming. No. So, all those things that bases salvation on faith, F-A-T-E. F-M, which is the only. Keep on wearing. No, don't wear it today. To collect or to correct your people, whichever. Remember me. So, but see verse 7. The impotent man answered and said, I have no man when the water is being troubled to put me to the pool. But when I am coming, and that step down before me, and just said unto him, what? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say it's that simple. Say it's that simple. Remember the case of Naaman, the milk of Naaman. Okay, he said after the Elijah did not tell him, he said, go and dip yourself in that pool and build. After he has dipped himself, he says it's not going. He says, oh, God, come. I know you are a God. But if this man has told you to do some big thing, he has told you to climb some big mountain, he has told you to go and fight some war, you would have done it. He has told you to drop plenty of silver and go, you would have done it. But he said, go and wash and be clean. He said, why should you think that is difficult? That is to teach you the simplicity of what? Salvation. How simple it is. Grace said, we are not the men that tell people what is not in the scripture. We are not the men that tell men eye-sounding nonsense to be saved. We are simple. We're preaching down salvation to some people. Say, see John 3, see. Say, is it just John 3? Are you blind? Can't you see? You whosoever believe. Are you not whosoever? Are you a goat? Are you a goat? Are you not human being? Are you a human being? Yes. Whosoever what believe. Do you believe? Yes. So you are saved. You will not perish. Say, you perish now. Why should I not perish? Because he said you will not perish. Oh, really? Can't you see? See it. Say, God is that simple. What the issue with God is, narrow is the way. And guess what? It's actually better that way. If God's way is broad, how do we know the one to take? If three ways can lead to God, can be this. And just teleporting every day. Let me try. But he said, so when you are saying narrow is the way, it's not saying anybody that is like you now, that is like you cannot enter. No, you are 150 kg. It's not saying you cannot enter. It's simply saying one, single, narrow. That means it's small. The perimeter is just one. It's not about your size, okay? You know, that's to make you slim down. You don't know what has happened. Just leave that. I'm serious. They have used that scripture to make people sleep. I say, you cannot enter. See you. You cannot enter heaven with your car. Say you are carrying car. Abi. Say you must not have any attachment. You have back and can't. You want to enter heaven. That will just be as you are. And there's a movie like that too. There's someone who wants to enter a road. And you should remember this drama coordinator now. He carry plenty. He carry plenty things. So when he tried to enter the door, he could not enter. He dropped one. Try and enter. He could not enter until he dropped everything. Mom become naked.
naked to enter heaven. Amen, amen.
Say, God is that simple.
So no 10 steps. He said in that Luke 1, say, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when you see all those, the birth of Isaac, although it was impossible, John the Baptist from Elizabeth and Zachariah, that things that looks impossible. I just love that case of John very well. He said, see your cousin Elizabeth. That was when he was now preaching to John, to Mary. Say, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with she who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's Luke 1, verse 36 and thereabouts. So all those impossibility is to show you that, write this down, all those impossibilities that became possible is to show you that the impossibility of man becoming God's son will not be impossible. All those impossibilities you saw in the Bible that became possible is to further show you that the impossibility of man to become God's son is not impossible. It will become possible. Did you get that, somebody? Thank you. Well done. Well done. So back to John 5 now. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took his bed and walked, and on the same day was a Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him, verse 10, that was cured. It is a Sabbath day now. It is not very funny, people. Love for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is he that which said to you, take up your bed and walk? Verse 13, and he said, yeah, he that was healed, God did not know it was who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away in the multitude. Let's read verse 14 together. Help me. Want to go? Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, yo, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Amen, amen. So, of course, you should know that very well. What was he reproving here? Now, he is no longer saying, what is worse than being on the spot for 38 years? Somebody said 39 years. he's already healed now, okay? So, for him to, no, that's funny. So, the sin no more here, we'll be talking about unbelief, obviously. So, because don't forget, they asked him, that who made you ill? He didn't even know. Why are you ill? He didn't even know. So, he was healed without what? Without believing. So, he now said, sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. The worst thing that can happen is to go to hell. That's the worst thing to this case. That's what Jesus is talking about. So, please write down this statement. Sin becomes really sinful after you have encountered the message. Sin becomes really sinful after you have encountered the message and you reject. Yes, when sin now becomes real sinful. After man has encountered the message and he rejects. Because now this man has encountered Jesus in the way that Jesus healed him is already a communication pattern. So the goodness of God is irrespective of salvation. Write this down and please and fast. The goodness of God is irrespective of salvation, but disdaining that good God will lead to damnation. The goodness of God is irrespective of salvation, but disdaining, disregarding that good God will lead to damnation. Romans 2, verse 6. Disregarding that good God will lead to damnation. Although the goodness of God is irrespective, if you like, if you believe or not, it causes rain to fall upon both the just and the unjust. You are sick. Whether you don't come to church for the next 3 months, if you are sick, he will heal you free of charge. Free of charge. He's so free that God will heal Nebuchadnezzar. So free. That if Herod pray, God will heal him. So free. That the jailer, Paul and Silas, he prayed, he became saved that day. So free. Healing is free. Everything is free. Okay. I'm saying Romans 2, verse 4, right? Are you there? Well done. So, or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance. The way you can understand it, so open these Bibles and read it. Okay? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So what is the essence of the goodness of God? To lead man to repentance. So go back to John 5 right now. So after Jesus has told him, sin no more, verse 15 now, lest a worse thing happen to you, then verse 15, the man departed
departed and now told the Jews it was Jesus which had what made him whole. That's faith. Now he has, now he's on the path of faith. Now he's believing gradually. So verse 37 now. John 5 verse 37. And the Father himself which has sent me bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Yeah, let me give you a bonanza question. So how did the Father bear witness of him in verse 37? Slowly, read it again. Read John 5, 37 and tell me how the Father bore witness of Jesus. Sir? Yeah, give me a verse in that place that tells us that. Verse what? Is that what I wrote here? Verse. Yeah. Let's first see. Verse what? What is it? 39. So let's read what is in 39. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So just testify of what? Him, right? So the Father bear witness of Jesus by the prophets. See verse 46 too. I didn't even see 39, imagine. I only saw 46 in my notes. See verse 46. Slowly, want to go? Help me, yes? For had you believed Moses, you would have believed him. Why? For he wrote of me. Uh-huh. So that is how God testified of Jesus. I will go back again to that 2 Peter 1, 16. We read this in the first service. See, I'm a student of the word. See, I'm proud of who I am. Amen, amen. Say the same way. I have been peppered today. I will pepper people. I will sit them down. I will times two of this thing. Shy. Madam, patience. Okay. Yeah, you must be planning people. Say, don't worry. Ah, don't worry, I will catch somebody. Ah, God. God. Ah. They are doing two sermons by Sunday. Sorry. God. It will be you and your wife. But it's not impossible, right? Amen, amen. But Father Abraham, all day, right? All day. All day, all night. Sleep there, die there. Okay, 2 Peter 1. Feel free, come on, verse 16. For we have not what? Followed cunningly devised fables. When we made unto you, known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitness of his majesty. And please just go to verse 21. For this prophecy come, not in the old time by the will of man, but only men of God spoke, in what? When they are moved by the Holy Ghost. So God's ultimate witness is that prophecy of the scriptures, okay? That's God's ultimate witness. That is the one we must guide jealously. I've told you, if they like, let them do that video of Passion of the Christ. They have said that Jesus had a wife. Say it's what is the name of this woman? Mary Magdalene, have you? And say it's the wife of Jesus. When you don't know the right movies to watch and you're watching Da Vinci Code, have you? Uh-huh. Sorry, why did I tell some of you now? Some of you now go and look for it right now. That's sad part. Amen. When you don't have good collection, and you now start watching rubbish. Now start, is it? It can, in your mind, now you say, it can be true. Somebody sat down, wrote down his own belief. And you say, it can be true. Have you observed that? No, Pastor Neka said something about scripture. He said, men that never saw themselves across in different locations, in different ages, they came to write the same thing. Say, checkmate. That's the point. Checkmate. Men, different men, across different ages and times, different locations, Jew, Gentile, believer, unbeliever, say, and everybody wrote this prophecy, and everything, we could draw a line of intercession. No, we have set. We have A, you know, B, A, intercession, B. No, intercession. Sorry, I know you don't listen to school. You can draw an intercession set across everything. And what? Center. Christ. Say Christ. Tell them to try that. Let them first to counterfeit that scripture. You must first act. You must go and look for a movie that they first act 1800. Look for that one that they act 1900. Look for that one they will act 2000. That is, 2,100 years, you know, in future. Then look for one they uttered in India, and that one they uttered where in US, and that one in Mexico. Then let them all say that Jesus and Mary Magdalene is what? He said, hey, then we will believe. You understand me? Wait, wait, wait. I know you don't understand. John 6. I'm just saying, scripture is actually intelligent. It's self-defensive. I mean, it will defend itself. Just throw it down. Right now, you have finished quoting Isaiah. I said, didn't read. No, quote John. I said, don't worry. You quote Jonah. I said, ah, Jonah, too. Jonah. So, you don't like Jonah? I'll quote Habakkuk now. Do like Habakkuk, I'll quote Jeremiah. Okay, all these people, they are Jews. They are Jews. I'll quote Abraham. Is he a Jew? Abraham is a father. Okay, I'll quote Noah. Okay, don't worry. I'll quote Rahab. Oh, God. Praise God. Anyhow, you will fail. Say Christ forever. Thank you. John 6, verse 3. Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover was near. Okay, a feast of the Jews was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, shall we buy bread that this may eat? Then, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Okay, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. So the situation also looks impossible. They look, and they now saw a small bread. See verse 9, and there was a lad there which had 5 belly loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You are going outside your portfolio. Do you understand what I just said? You have a problem, and you saw a small solution. This last part will be what? That's unbelief. What are they among so many? How are you saying this Christ will save everybody? That is not your business. Are you with me? How are you saying this singular events that look so intangible is sufficient? Hey, that's God's wisdom. See verse 10 now. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was so much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. You know, told them to sit down, calm down, just sit down. And verse 11, and please, let's read 11 and 12. Want to go? Yes. Yes, and disciples to them that were sat down, likewise. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So, yes, we can use this to teach the Father that salvation was impossible and God did a miracle. But also, we can also use this to teach the ministry. Because I saw the pattern there. You say, okay, Jesus, he gave the disciples. The disciples gave others, and others gave others. So, when you don't say the work of the ministry is too much, it's not for you alone. Disciple men that will disciple others, share one to another, and let the next person continue in taking it further. That is the wisdom of God. I'm saying we can learn our ministry pattern in this miracle too. He said he shared with the disciples. Disciples shared, you know, they are in groups. They are in groups with the elders of those groups. Like, and that, I can't put it that way. And they shared it further. And that's how the gospel will reach the world. So rather than complain that there are so many places to be reached, you teach one person very well, teach two, let those ones go and teach others. That is 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. The things that you have what? Learned of me, commit the same unto faithful men who will what? Teach others also. So those others too, they will go ahead again and what? Teach others. Teach others. Teach others. Say continuity. Say we all must be involved in preaching and teaching. The man that will be rewarded is not the people that stands on the pulpit. This is not what will make God reward people. It's not this pulpit. It's not this pulpit. It's not this pulpit. It's not this my standing here. You can stand on the street and you do more than I'm doing here today. So the job is for us all. So don't see this thing as God, when will I get before a pulpit? Don't see pulpit as an idol. Don't see that. See souls. Say souls. Thank you. John 6 now 26. Jesus answered and said, very, very, I say unto you, Now, see this. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were healed. Again, he's saying, if you are seeking me because of the miracles, yes, but that would be okay, but because of a specific miracle, because of what that miracle did to you. Oh, God. Please, focus. The loaf there, is it a miracle? It's a miracle, right? But he said, because you did eat of the loaf and were what? Healed. That means you are seeking me because of the end of that miracle, not because of the miracle worker, not because of the miracle process. Are you getting that? Because the loaf itself is also a miracle. So, but he's saying, you guys, you are seeking me, you are not seeking the miracles. That means you are not seeking the process, you are not seeking the doer, you are seeking the results. So, in that saying, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Say, we must labor for the word. See our approach towards learning must be labor. So, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. That's Stephanie. Him hath God the Father sealed. Meaning, the miracles will lead man to salvation. Him hath God the Father sealed. The miracles will lead man to salvation. But to be fixated on the result of a miracle will be idolatry. Other people are shouting now up and down. I don't know if they have calmed down now. Miracle money, miracle money, miracle money, miracle money. Thieves. Sorry. 28. John 6, 28. Oh, glory. Let me wait for you so we can read this together. So I'll read 28, you read 29 for me, and we'll continue till 34 or thereabouts. Then said they unto him, what shall we do then that we might walk the works of God? 39, yes, loud and clear. Make it loud and clear, or else I will pray that God send it to China. Amen. Where you will not be free to worship, like where you worship in the cave. Oh, you just become a religion there. Okay, verse 30, let me read. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? 31, yes. Amen. And you know, they just mess up. You say bread from heaven. You just say, bread waiting from heaven. What is from heaven? What you just said? Bread from heaven. Manna is from heaven. And verse 32. Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from where? So what you said? That bread did not come from heaven. Oh. Amen, amen. He said, guy, that bread that they ate, your manna did not come from heaven. Oh. But my Father giveth you the what? The true bread from heaven. Verse 33. Slowly want to go. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto. Hallelujah. So that bread they ate in the wilderness was to point them to Jesus, the bread of life. It's also a teaching ministry. It's a teaching ministry of Moses. Teaching ministry. Please don't just pick the benefits of God and you forget the reason. And you forget the reason, the intention of God. So I said that bread they ate in the wilderness was to point them to Jesus, the bread of life. That man should believe in and live forever. Okay, I'll read 34. You will read 35 convincingly for me.
Yeah, I'm still writing. I will take it. 3, 2, 1, 0.
Go. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. 35. Slowly, one, two, go. Jesus said unto him, I am bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never. Say never.
That's eternal salvation, like it or not.
Okay, but I say unto you that you also need. And have seen me, and you believe not. 37, read for me. Yes, please. You are reading like you will be cast out. Come on, why are you like this? For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. 39, yes, sirs? Yeah. Of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Verse 41 to go, and this is the Father's will, that everyone that sees the Son and believe may have, and I will. How many? Everyone. Say everyone. You can see everyone there. Everyone. Come on. Okay, so 44. The Jews now, they murmur. Useful. Very unserious. Somebody give you a woo. They are murmuring. Who is it? You murmur. Say nothing. You are. That's the gospel. Because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And he said, is this not Jesus, son of carpenter? I know he came from the kid's state. Whose father and mother? I will know. Whose sister is by the left hand? Whose wife sits at the right hand? Whose daughter is somewhere over there? How is it that he said, I came from heaven? I didn't come from heaven anyway. But I'm born again. So Jesus therefore answered, oh God. Okay, and said unto him, murmur not among yourself. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You will explain this slowly. Okay, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has what? Heard and has learned or be comment unto. Read that last phrase again. Every man therefore that has what? Heard and at learn or be comment unto. So how do you learn of the Father? Huh? He said it the last time. How do you hear of the Father? How did the Father bear witness of Jesus? So how do you learn of the Father? So if they have been studying the scripture, will it be difficult for them to come to Christ? No. Simple. Also, to learn of the Father, what will be to think through the scripture, to think through. Because we read like a rebellious Mark 2:19 man. I want to throw away his wife to marry another. So to learn of the Father will be to think through the scriptures. To think through, to read through, to think through. Verse 44 now. John 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Why? Because they ate the bread, they saw the miracles as the end in itself. They saw the bread as a reason for the bread. They didn't see Christ as a reason for the bread. They just say, okay, he's only giving us bread to satisfy our hunger. Yes, it's to satisfy your hunger, but hey, furthermore, is to teach you that a bread of life is coming, which you will eat and you will never thirst again. Remember that manna? Eh? They will, if like if you eat small, you'll be filled. If you eat too much, you'll also be what? Same. You don't read the Bible. What can I use to stone people here? Come. You don't read Bible. If you gather too much, same thing. If you gather small, same thing. The violent offender who truly believe. It's not matter how many sins you have seen. It doesn't matter. It's like, ah, Pastor John said, ah, the day I believe. No, it's not Pastor John. Who the day I believe the ghost will divine. Say, ah, Pastor, the day I be born, became born again. Oh, I cried. They gave me a bowl in my front. I cried to the bowl. It was 5 liters of tears from my eyes. Then I said, oh Lord, today I follow you. Today, I'm not talking to that girl again. Today, from today, I'm not going to that mommy side again. From today, I'm the son of God. Then somebody else like Vivian. That's, you know, you believe, yes, I believe. Yeah, I believe. That's all. Compare the two testimony. Who will enter heaven? Huh? Abba. Ah! But Yanka said, you heard the that should be in reality of presence. If you hear the testimony of salvation of some people, say, ah! Me, I was a bad boy. Eh, I was bad with men. Ah! Eh, I was bad with women. Eh, I was bad even with men. Ah! Even with children. Ah! I was bad. Ah! That day, I just picked that knife. I want to dagger that guy. I just saw the lights. He told me, John, why are you doing this? I made you John for you. Please go to me. And I said, God, should I drop this knife? Are you sure? God, should I do this before I drop it? God said, no, drop the knife. Then I dropped the knife. And that day, the light flashed to my throat and I spoke in tongues. And you do not have such chronicles. If you lie, right?
Is that sin?
God will just out of God will just say, angel, check if there is faith in that cry. You know, be checking the, all your cry, all your dream. Just check. Is that faith? Okay, finally there is faith there. God will just pick that faith, the rest, throw it away. Yeah. Yeah. So like cry, like don't cry. If like with the what we are looking for is, I agree with the message. Hallelujah. Thank you. So we are seeing John 6. Verse 50 now. So what I was saying is that those guys, they just saw the miracles as the end in themselves. 50, this is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, hallelujah, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, say this bread, he shall live for how long? For how long? Oh, there are. How many, do you see anybody that keeps eating? Is that what is there? The living will be for how long? But the eating is out of once. Say once. Say once. Say once. Ah! Are you hungry? If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Like emphatic statement. Just because they say, we don't know if we make it. We don't be making it. I'm not making anywhere. Amen. We make nowhere. We preach this gospel, we die here. When we are ready, we now go and celebrate. We celebrate whichever we do there. We don't even know yet. Apostasy will tell us. Okay, in series 2. That's October. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, see, issue. The Jews therefore now strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You say, so unbeliever, I will give you what you deserve. Now went back to typology for them. Now said, very, very, I say unto you, except you use the flesh of the world, son of man. That thing they don't say. He now telling them, okay, flesh, you must eat it. And drink his blood. Now added blood. Vampire, you shall have no life. So that was a typology. He has told them clearly before, Abi. He said, what are you saying? How he eat the flesh? He said, I will make your case very, very clear. So, whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood shall at what? Eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Come on, let's read from 55. Slowly, want to go? Yes? 56, keep reading, yes? Dwelleth in me, and I, as the living Father, yes, hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall what? So now, and see what now happened though. And this thing said he in the synagogue, in verse 16, many devil of the disciples, and they said, this is an odd saying, who can bear it? Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured, and he said, does this offend you? Let me read 62, you now read 63 for me. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? 63. Want to go? Yes, sir? Flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, spirits and there. Hallelujah. He was not saying, guys, what I'm saying to you, I'm not telling you to eat, but it's spiritual, it's spirit and life. Praise God. That means focus on the intention of what I'm saying. Focus on what is the end. Okay. Let's keep John 7, just to really talk about that piece in John 7. We have to go back to some piece in the Old Testament, which not today. John 8. Go to John 8. Verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, which, and when they had set her in the midst, they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act, and Moses in the law commanded such to be stoned, but what seest thou? And they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his fingers, wrote on the ground, and as though he had them done so, when he continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. I don't know what is written on the ground. I still don't know it. I didn't know it last year. I still don't know it this year. Verse 9, and when they heard it, being convinced by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none, but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thy accusers? Hath any man no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Of course, we can learn from that. You can see that sin no more. What do you think the sin no more will be? Who can explain? Don't say you know it. Who can explain? Let me start from my left. Yes? How? Why? No, no, no. Even although you have no reason, you can believe in the scriptures. It's already written.
Yes.
You got it, it's to believe. Who can explain it? Center. Not my first row. Delegate. Want to delegate somebody? I'll come back here. Yes! Yes! This side. Yes. Talk. Please, don't do like Holy Ghost. Yes. But anybody else? Anybody? You guys can try. Feel free. Yes. No. Go back to the beginning. What do you start with? So, what brought her to Jesus? Faith or accusation? Why did she come? Did she coming to learn, or she was came for judgment? So what brought her was not faith, it was accusation. On a normal day, did she have come to Jesus? So the sin no more. Yes, is speaking about her unbelief, but is like, let me say it this way: stop waiting for Satan to bring you to me. You get that? I didn't know how best to put that. Stop waiting for Satan, stop waiting for accusation. Your accusers to drag you here. You could have come yourself. Don't you read the Bible? Have you heard that a man is around, that is a man of God? Now you allow Satan to drag you here. So of course, if you save her, then of course. So someone will say, but she's saying no more should be talking about the adultery. They do not commit adultery again will be inside what? Sin no more. Inside common to me. Do you get that, brethren? Brian, I know that is difficult to write down. Just understand it. So, same thing we have seen in Romans 2 again. Go back to Romans 2, verse 1. So, also, we can see also over there, like MOG was saying, also, man is not allowed to judge man. You are not allowed. Only God reserves that right. Only God reserves that right. A sinner should not be judging a sinner. Of course, we are not sinners anyway. And you shall judge all things. So a sinner is not allowed to judge another sinner. See Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, for whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judges another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judges doest the same thing. Let's read verse 2 and 3 now. Want to go? And thinkest thou, yes, and do the same. So verse 4 now says, all despise thou the riches of his goodness and his forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God lead thee to repentance. So is there another miracle in John 8? Go back to John, please. Okay, let's go to John 9, please, for the sake of time. John 9. Yes, verse 1 is awesome. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Imagine this man or his parents that was born blind. How can a man sin before he was born? Oh, serious. Okay. Verse 3. And Jesus answered, this man has not seen nor his parents. But right now, something is missing that syntax, okay? It's not saying God made him blind so that God can do miracles. No. Satan has done a lot of work before Jesus came. So God is not contributing to that plan. Are you with me? Are you with me? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I'm saying the way that verse 3 looked literally, it looked like, okay, it's not because he's sin though. He was blind so that what Jesus can have somebody to perform miracle upon. Just like, okay, now they are throwing coronavirus or whatever they call it into the world so that what our vaccine can work. No, that man should be arrested. If there's a man like that, he's a murderer. Are you with me? Have you not seen movies like that where
they will release a bio weapon so that a pharmaceutical company can sell products. So I'm not saying that is the case of this one. I'm just giving you illustration. So if that is what Jesus did or God did, even humanity condemns him. Okay? So he's not justified. So that verse has a poor construction. Neither has this man seen nor his spirit. But right now, the works of God will be what? Made manifest in it. I must walk the works that's of him that sent me while it is day. The ninth comment, when no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And verse 7, when he has made a spout, put it on the sides. And verse 7, he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He washed and came seeing. No? Verse 24. Again, no, he said he sent to a pool. Sent. He washed and he came seeing. So 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know. I was what? Blind. Now I was. Is this statement of faith? I don't really very well, but you say yes. What is faith? Faith must be who-centered. So is this a sinner of faith? He said, give glory to God. This man is a sinner. You are just, he said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. So now, that can be yes, sure. Yes, in the sense that faith for miracle, but not faith in the Son. Are you with me? That is the attitude of, imagine if I just finished slapping you in the bus, and you don't know, she doesn't know that you are coming to the same church. She's not in church, and it's a yearly meeting, and she wants to lay hands on you. So what must you give, and you are sick, and you are truly sick. So what must you tell yourself? I beg you, whether she slapped me before or not, I don't know. One thing I know, today, this girl, she will lay her hands again, and I will be healed. So, that can be faith for miracle, but that can that be faith in a good idea? No. So, this guy has not known who the Savior is. So, until you now see again, in verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou art altogether born, saying, verse 35 again, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And what is that? Verse 6, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that speaketh to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Praise God. So healings is not salvation, but healings can lead you to the saving Jesus, okay? Healings is not salvation, but healings can lead you to the saving Jesus. John 10. No, we are going to John 10. John 10 now. Amen. He's our Jesus. Not their Jesus, is our Jesus. We see him as our Lord, exalted in us. John 10 now, okay, this one is together. See how I am talking. I'm sure you talk with the same passion. I read verse 1, you read verse 2 until we are where we are going. John 1, let me read. Verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. So him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he call his own sheep by name, and lead them out. Yes? And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Yes, verse 6. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Yes, next verse. I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Next verse. So you can see in that verse 9, is the same thing as what Matthew called narrow is the way. He said, I am the door. Just one door, not plenty doors. You see verse 8, he said, all that ever came before me, there will be plenty
that is plenty perversions of the prophet and plenty issues, perversion, not integration, perversion, all that ever came before me. So these are the many, many ways of Matthew chapter 7. But verse 9 is the I am the door, single one, Jesus. Okay, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Next verse. For me, and leaveth the sheep and fled, and the wolf cast them. The hearing fled because he is an alien and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14. Come on. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I knew the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. Verse 16. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Verse 18, come on. This commandment have I received of my Father. Okay, let's keep reading. Yes, let me read 19 to 24. There was a division among the Jews for this saying, and many of them said, look at the Bible, he had a devil and is mad. Why are you hearing him? But I said, these are not the words of him that has the devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Come on, 25, want to go? Yes, sir. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. Next verse. Glory. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29 and 30. Want to go? Hallelujah. And what is the next thing that these guys say? What are they good in doing? And the Jews pick up stones. Amen. Still today, people are still picking what? Stones. They are still picking stones. Ah, say forever. Hey, Nipo, Okuta, Facebook. Amen. Jesus answered them, many good works have I show you from my Father. For which of these good works do you stone me? And they said, well, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Okay, look at verse 34 now. 34. Is it not written in your law? I said that ye are gods. If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am Son of God. Now I'm going to verse 37. Please read 37 slowly. Want to go? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Verse 39 now. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I was. So what is the intention of miracles, guys? Perfect. That means if we have a church that we are, if you have a heavy miracle center, it should also be a heavy knowledge center. As the miracles are happening, what must we do also? Take people into what? Learning. And see, verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were truth, and many believed on him there. Listen, well, don't be like John. You must do miracle, but you must do it and use the miracle to teach who? To teach Jesus. Is that clear, guys? It's not God that told John not to do miracle. It's the guy who sent him to God eating. You cannot eat swallow, you're eating spaghetti up and down. That's how you do miracle. You can't eat correct things. Okay, sorry. John 11. Come on. This is awesome. Almost there. John 11. Let's just read from 21. You know the story, that's Lazarus. See the significance of Lazarus. This is the last one I'll be really explaining. Then we'll just read 13. We'll be done. See the significance of Lazarus' resurrection right now. John 11, are you there? Come on. try and get a better voice. Let's read 21. Want to go? Yes. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou art been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou we ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, hey, I know, burial summer. He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Amen, amen. She's actually right, but see what Jesus is saying now, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am. Say, I am. What? Now, what? Mary, is that Mary or Martha? Martha. And also, funny enough, the one that was sitting at Jesus' feet, she see inside. That's Sila. But the one that was cooking food, the one that was saying, I love you, Pastor, she's already there. Sila! Okay, now see the points. What do you think is the correlation between 25 and 25? Jesus Martha was saying, I know that he will rise again. When? In the resurrection. Is Martha wrong? No. But what do you think Jesus now wanted to do? What is the first word of the next verse? I am. Say, I am. He's saying that resurrection is here. Hallelujah. Say, Bani. That's it. No, you're not just levels. You're saying, okay. If Mary has said, are you sure he will rise again? Then Jesus will start another way. But Mary already said something nice. Say, hey, don't worry, he will rise again. Say, don't worry. He will not only rise again, he will rise now. Amen. Because the one that will make him rise again is one. Yeah. Amen, amen. Glory! That's the point. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. So we are going to use the life of Lazarus as a specimen. Amen. Say specimen. Remember those biologic things, amoeba, all those? No, it's not amoeba. No, we have specimen of rats, put in formalin solution. Now bring it to practicals, right? Now say, what do you do to them again? That is, you say, dissect. Did you dissect anything? You, frog. Yeah. Did he die? He died. You kill a frog. You dissect a frog and he died. You want to be a doctor. You know, imagine. Run from his hospital. Amen. So, and whosoever, see 26, where you want to go, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And she said, glory, glory. Yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God. We should come to the world. So, Jesus raising the dead had an undertone that will be raised someday. That means, Jesus raising the dead, it's like the raising of Lazarus, it has the undertone, that means a significance also, that someday believers will be raised. Will be raised. Because the one that will raise us is already in us. Amen, amen. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So sure for me. Oh sure. You can interpret that one. I don't know. Oh sure, Dan. Oh sure. It's sure. Amen, amen. I say, are you sure that gave a grip for you? Don't worry, oh sure for me. Oh sure. Say, oh sure. See that, 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you, everybody. You have been awesome today. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Amen, amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's a lot. It's not, we shall not all sleep. But that means some people will be alive when these things will happen. But everybody, whether you sleep or not, we will be what? Change. Amen, amen. Praise God. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, not Donald Trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Say, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. Okay? The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In your cross-reference, where is that statement from? Check, cross-reference. Isaiah what? So he's saying that statement, the fulfillment of that statement is not just at the resurrection, but at the glorification. Amen, amen. Do you get me? So, verse 55. Let's read 55 to 58 together. Help me. Want to go? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Say abounding. Say sit down there. Say sit down bracket there. Yeah. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So this is not a taboo. This in Christianity. It is what is written. It's not a taboo. We are going to be glorified. So those who persecute saints are just too late. Yeah, there's a video that somebody in jail that they can't press them, blah, blah, blah. Well, too bad for the persecutors. Too early for the man that died. Amen, amen. Do you get that? Too bad, too late for the persecutor, but too early for the man that died. Too early. Too early, is that right? No. Not too early, just early. Not too. Who is too early? That means it's... Maybe he was killed before he became born again. Something like that. I mean, English is voila. But I'm just saying, too bad for the people that killed him. But guy, hey, man. He said. So, of course, we take care of our body, but we also know that we get a new one. Are you with me? I'm almost closing. We take care of this body, but we also know that we shall get a new one. It's clear. That is the hope in Christianity. Funny enough, it is this body that is not allowing plenty people to do what they ought to do. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Help me. Come on. For this cause. Are you there? I know you are tired. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Okay, want to go? Yes, sir. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are, chapter 5 verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, say we know. Say we know. Yeah. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Let's read verse 4 and 5 together. Want to go? For we are in this tabernacle, do groan, being bonding, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who also has given us the earnest. Say the guarantee of the Spirit. So whether you spend on your body, so whether you spend this your body serving the Lord or not, it will decay, it will go. This is not the end though, okay? This is not the end though. Brothers, fine girls and boys, don't be sorry, and guys, whatever. Sorry, girls and boys, ladies and gentlemen. This body is not the end, though. This body is not the end, though. Don't idolize this, you know. Take care of it. Bath 3 times in the day. Look fine. Use moderate makeup. But I don't know the intention of moderate. Anyway, rough don't do plastic surgery. Now it's too expensive. But take care of your body. But this is not the end. This is not the end. Come and pray. Ah, Pastor, if I pray, my voice will crack. May that you want to go to hell? What if you go to hell with the crack voice? You prefer that? No, Pastor, you know, I will be tired. Eh? Who's not tired? Any prayer warrior? You know, it is in those days that you can have prayer warrior. No, there's no prayer warrior in. Have you observed? There's no prayer warrior in the real world environment. Because you'll be tired. Which one? Which one is prayer warrior? You want to pray after 13 hours? You'll still be doing like this. How? You show up something. No, it's not possible now. You get you pray. We will do that. After pray some, pray some, pray some. Amen. So it's when it's all those your 15 minutes prayer. That's what you see, prayer warrior. Come on, do prayer warrior for 36 hours now. Come on, try it. You think you stay in one, say, let's pray. Mimimo. After Ula, to later you just summarize everything to imagine. So don't say can you see all of them? They are looking old. Take your son goes on, you be looking old. Have you heard that before? If your ministry is like this, that you'll be looking old, you'll be fine. You'll be studying, teaching for how long? Two sermons. Kilo day. So right now, some people in between sermons, they just go to the toilet. Okay, bring that mirror. Does anybody do that yet? We check. Put the camera there. that's the offense. Amen. The body will go. Say the body will go. It will go, okay? That's why, go and download one app. Then you, after you delete it, that used to password H. See yourself. Just do it. You just password it. Go to go to the next 6 years. Once you see the end, just humble yourself, okay? Not humble. Okay. Go and see, check yourself. Some of you here, we are watching the video early this morning. So, a different assembly. Just here last year. Some people here, last year, you see how they are looking. They read ping, 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 ping. Let's leave that. Let's not mention their names. Very nice. Just 1 year. What's happening? Amen. Say all for Christ. Say all for Christ. Divine, anything for the lost, all right? The temple has reduced. Okay, so I'm just saying a day will come that you won't be able to point to all those your touchness again. I'm not joking. A day will come. All those your marshal. How many packs? All food for worms, and everything. So, how should you rather spend your life? For the gospel. Amen. Say for the gospel. John 12. That's the last scripture. John 12. Amen. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, which he raised from the dead. There they led in a supper and Martha served him. But Lazarus was one of them, and Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And when the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. Why was not this ointment was sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Anyway, no, but that was a thief. That is John's own, okay? And he had it back and beer. No, that's John that is beating him, okay? But let's focus on the reply of Jesus. But Samuel slowly want to go. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, and she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me have you not always. That's a lot from verse 8. That's a lot. See, the most expensive parts or the most expensive possession of man should not be spent on humanitarian services. I will explain. This is also a figure of speech for something, okay? This event is also a typology for something. The most expensive possession of man should not be spent on humanitarian services, but on the ministry of Christ. First, write that down, then we explain that. He said, the poor you have always. Ramaka. But he said, but me, you don't have always. Well, it's not always that you have the opportunity to, it's not always that you will have the opportunity to do what you are told to do now. It's not always, actually. It's not always. That opportunity to learn, to be fervent like this, it will not be there forever. The most important, what? The most important, what? I said the most expensive should be spent, should not be spent on humanitarian services, as good as that is, okay? Should be spent on the ministry of Christ. But now, let me now ask you, what is the most treasurable possession of man? Let me start from this. Yes, Stevie? Time. Awesome. Time. You know, time is a lot. I mean, they won't say time is life, right? Yeah, time. But it looks like something is still more expensive than that. Anything else from this center? I know. Anything? Sir? Money. That is awesome. Money. Yeah, it's part of it. You know that thing? Huh? Life. Life. What is more expensive than the life? Guess what? That is what the gospel actually demands.
The one who gave me his life deserves to be served. Very, very life. He gave me his cross. This is my devotion. Money will not move me, fear will not blind me, my cross will not swerve me, quitting will not faze me, and keeping me safe. Money will not move me, money will not move me, fear will not blind me, my cross will not swerve me.
Which must be done. Amen, amen. No, we're going to have a series network early next month, likely the first week. The last one was one day. This one will be 2 days program. And it's not just a 2 days program. It's actually a week-long program. Trust God that Pastor Delight will be around with us throughout the week, 1st of March. And that's the first week of March, right? So that is a time where we just use all these new songs to drive home the same things which we have learned, okay? Like all these songs that we have sung now, we now come together, sing it better, record it better, and so it can bless us repeatedly. So, from that song, the one who gave us life, the self of the self, or the very life which he gave, the most expensive possession of man should be wasted on God's work. Of course, once your life is going for it, they mean dying, okay? Don't forget, God prefers you to live for him than to die for him. Don't forget that. God prefers you to live for him, not to die for him. Okay? Do you get me? There is no supernatural thing. I'm not saying, as saints have been killed, well, the gospel is just traveling. Mm-mm. It's not blood of Jesus is enough, okay? God prepares me to be alive. Paul said in Philippians 1, he said, for me to abide is more profitable for you, right? And he says it's more profitable for you. So I'm just saying the life of man should be wasted on what? See the words I use. Wasted, not just spent. So how did the woman do that alabaster box? She broke it. This year, you know what some of us are doing today? We are using strong. eye drop. That's it for you, eye drop. Put more. God, you just take. No. See you next year. Expensive. My life. And then you. Yeah, sprinklings. No. You might broke the pot. Amen. That should teach us responsibility, okay? That should teach us that God needs us, okay? He's saying the work cannot be done through you. He has all everything else except without a preacher. There's a preacher. A preacher is necessary. And don't worry, you don't have to make yourself. He will give you men. Say, I will give them pastors. I will feed them according to my desire. He will give you pastors. He will give you all the tools, but he just needs you. Remember the manufacturing line of God? All he needs your mind. He needs a man. The man is there. He will supply everything to make you a finished product. Praise God. Okay, I'm closing. My lifetime. Remember that song? I will give God my life. Well, help me. Let's sing. Come on. Glory to God. Yeah. Be upstanding, audience, together.
I will give God my lifetime.
If I give
God my lifetime.
Yeah.
He will take care of me.
Looks shy, but it's true. A simple faith like that, okay? Are you with me? This is an old song, right? Yeah, it will take care of you. Yeah? It will take care of you. The arrows will come. It will not like to touch you. Don't say, are you sure it will take care of me? Yeah, it will take care of you. You say, glory to God. It will. Say, it will. Yeah, it will. It will. It will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Take care of me. Come on, sing it two more times. Come on. Keep praying.
You will never, ever let